Good morning. Hope everybody is doing well and excited to be encouraged and equipped and looking forward to just being around a topic that's so near to the heart of people like us that are involved in churches and involved in schools. And that's what this is. I love a conference that's like this, and so I'm glad to be a part of it. Big honor for me. I went to school here in 2003 is when I started and graduated in 2006, so that's a long time ago, and been a part of the church here in South Louisville the entire time. Matter of fact, it was the first church I ever went to when I moved here from North Carolina. Thankful for that. Have a great church that loves and supports me and my family well, and we have been greatly strengthened in our faith by just being a part of the church that we're a part of, and so I am really thankful and humbled and honored to be able to be here today, that we would get into something that's quite different than what we talked about yesterday. Yesterday was a lot of legal stuff and knowing the right or wrong and being encouraged in that and allowing you all to feel great support in knowing that, hey, you've got some freedoms and you've got some rights and you should be leaning into serving the Lord in those ways. But our talk this morning is going to be quite a bit different, and I hope that this time today is just really encouraging. Thank you for having me, and thank you all for being here. Today we're going to talk about cultivating church and school partnerships. It seems to me, he called it an untapped resource, it seems to me like a topic that nobody talks about. Unless you've seen it, you're like, where's this even going? These two things seem to be as far apart as possible or at odds, and nobody is trying to put them together. And so today, without us beating a drum that's unnecessary, I'm hoping that today will bless you and really be used by God to stir your heart toward, yes I could see that happening. And I want you all to know that it is happening in a lot of places, and we are seeing so much good kingdom work and gospel fruit being done through schools and churches being connected, okay? And so that's what we're going to be doing today. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you. We ask that you would have mercy upon us and forgive us of our sins, and that you would set our hearts and minds fully upon our risen Savior, who has overcome our sin, has overcome death, has overcome the works of the devil, and he reigns now forever. God, we worship you, we praise you, and we ask, God, that you would make us people that serve you. And so wherever you have us placed, you would use our lives for your glory. And God, as we know that we will say once we get around the throne, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and honor and blessing. God, we're going to say that one day future. And so we ask now that you would make our hearts say that now. As we go to work each morning, as we serve in the classroom, that you are worthy of this. God, bless our time over the next few minutes and the rest of this conference for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So yesterday when Dr. Langhofer finished up, I loved his closing point about the lady that's cleaning off the bookshelf. I absolutely loved it, and I wrote it down. And the thing that she recognized in that moment is kind of a launch pad into what I'm talking about today. And here's what that teacher, who was ready to quit, retire, experiencing all of those emotions, said that the Lord kind of led her to see this from him. She was sensing that God was leading her or telling her, I don't have you here to criticize this place. I have placed you here to show you that I have not abandoned this place. When she found a Bible that was on the bookshelf. I want to encourage you today that there is much kingdom work and God is on the move, and we will see gospel fruit as we get into thinking about cultivating church and school partnerships. All right? I've called it the four V's because I'm using these four words that start with V. Maybe that'll be helpful to you. Here we go. A couple passages of scripture for you to think about so that we can let God's word kind of drive us in this. Matthew chapter 5, a very familiar passage, says, You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, imagine being a Christian working in a school that's lost its saltiness. How shall its saltiness be restored? Look at this phrase. This is from Jesus. It is no longer good for anything. Imagine being a Christian with the Spirit and the gospel that's not good for your school. There's a lot of those, unfortunately. And this is the warning from Jesus here. Except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Do we know that the world is dark? Yes, we know that already. We know that from when we were lost. And we know that as we live our Christian lives. The world's dark, and Jesus is the light that shines through his people. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Now notice this next phrase. So that they may see. These are the words of Jesus. So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I want y'all to hear from the outset today that God will use your lives to glorify himself wherever you're at. God will use your lives to glorify himself wherever you are located. Another passage that I don't have on the screen that I want you to know comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. And I would guess that every person in the room knows verse 11, right? For I know the plans I have for you. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11, right? But listen to verse 7. This is just a few verses before that one. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. If you don't know verse 29:7 from the book of Jeremiah, I want you to. God says, it's not your place. You're in exile there, but I've placed you there. Seek the good of it, for as you seek the good of it, God's going to do good to you. As it prospers, you'll prosper. Jeremiah 29:7. Today we're talking about the four V's of cultivating church and school partnerships. All right, the first V, visible. Visible. Do they know that you are there? That's the first question I'm asking. On all of these slides today, I'm just going to ask a lot of questions, okay? Visible. Do they know that you are there? Here's some questions to help us think through that. Does your school know of the churches in the area? Now, I know that the school may not have that as their agenda. They need to identify them. But the Christians in the building should be or could be. What schools are around? What schools are near you? What schools are praying for, what churches? What churches are around? What churches are near you? And what churches are praying for your school and praying for the teachers in your school? More specifically, have you or the Christians in your school been able to connect with any of the local churches around your school? Is that on your mind? Is that on your radar? Is there a visibility to where the school's aware of the churches, the churches are aware of the schools? This is what I'm wanting us to think through. And if not, then why not? My next point will speak to that, but there is such value in knowing who are the helpful people around us. So often what happens to Christians that are working in schools is they feel isolated, they feel alone, they often feel like I'm the only one, there's nobody here that sees it the way I see it, there's nobody here that's thinking about God the way that. Those emotions are all too real, and we know that, all right? Well, how important is it and how good would it be for you or the Christians in your school to know that school that I just drove past, that school that's a stone's throw away, that school that's right down the block knows that I'm here and they've got my back? The visibility is what we're talking about. Next question, are the churches present for community school events? Now, I know that our first thought to this might be, well, that's not very likely. They don't even want the churches there. okay? But when it just becomes an open thing, like a field day or an open house or a celebration or a family night or a ball game or a get together or whatever else, anybody can come and there's opportunity there. Do you come to that? If it's an event where they're looking for vendors, do you come to that? And why not? We're wanting to be salt. We're wanting to be light. We're wanting to seek the welfare. These are the things that God has told us. We're wanting to have an impact and make a difference. We're wanting to. And so there's opportunity there. Are we visible for it? Are the churches present for community school events? Now, the neat thing about this conference that I love so much is that we're not having to think about, okay, we're trying to get the church to see this despite the school, or we're trying to get the school to see this despite the church. We're all of that, right? You're the school and you're the church. You've got a vested interest on both sides. You're wanting the church to do its thing and represent Jesus in the world, and you're wanting the school to do its thing and to make an impact in kids' lives. You care about both. And you're the one that has the potential to make that happen. My third point here is not necessarily signage, but presence. I hope by now that we know that, you know, signs and balloons is not the best way to reach the world. But being in the spot, being in the place, being in the arena, to use that phrase, being the salt and light in the world wherever God has placed us, that's how God uses his people. And so I don't mean that you need to, you know, get your church to put up some signs all over your campus. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am meaning for the Christian people to be there, to be present, and do what they can. I had no idea that I would ever be in youth ministry, but that's where I started out, because when I landed here at Southern Seminary, a guy in the gym that I'd never met before said, "Hey, I know a church in the South End that has no youth, but we want to start one. Would you help?" So I said yes, the first thing I ever did, and I became a student minister in 2003. Never dreamed of it, never thought of it, didn't have a clue. I came to Southern because I want to be a missionary. I've been in my church for 22 years, and I still want to be a missionary, and maybe one day that's going to happen. But I was serving in a role as a youth minister, and you know what I thought about? In Charlotte, North Carolina, when I went to high school, at Piedmont High School in Union County, there was a youth pastor. Wasn't from my church. But he was at the school every day during lunch, just hanging out in the courtyard, just buying kids Gatorades, just high-fiving. "Hey, what time's the ball game tonight, man? I know there's a ball game. I'm going to be there." There was a youth pastor who was always there. He wasn't from my church. His name was Cliff Easter. And I had not thought about him in years. But when I got hired as a youth minister, I was 23. I'd been out of high school for 5 years. The Lord brought back to my mind that that guy was just always around. He was just always around the school. For what reason? Well, he was visible, and I thought about that. The Lord used it many, many years later because he was simply visible. The first V that I want us to think about in school and church partnerships is simply the visibility. For you to be aware of the churches around you, and for the churches to be aware of the schools around them, and to be thinking the Lord is working here. Whether we like it or not, schools are major, major, major community centerpieces. They just are. When you're in a city, it may not be as much or at least equal for the schools. Right here in Louisville, in this county that we're in right now, there are 22 public high schools. That doesn't count all the private high schools. So there are 30, 40 plus high schools in this city. That's a lot. That's a lot. I don't know how it is in other states, but here in Kentucky, you know what you do after you ask somebody where you're from? You ask them, "What school did you go to?" And as soon as you know what school they went to, you know probably something else about them, okay? And that's really, really neat. Schools are major centerpieces. And so if a church is wanting to have presence, impact, influence, or simply to engage people, schools are one of the best places to get connected, okay? The first point is visible. My next point is valuable, and this is a really, really important thing that I want us to see. Do they know that you are helpful? If I were to ask, okay, and we didn't have any topic in mind, who are the most helpful people in the world? What category, right? Some people may say first responders. First people may say coaches. You know, some people may say neighbors. You're thinking about it in that kind of good, wholesome perspective. But I think the real answer is, who are the most helpful people in the world? It is Christians, right? We love disaster relief work. We love caring for people. It's Christians that started all the hospitals originally, right? Christians love to help. Every one of you all knows somebody that's in a school building that is just a servant of servants, that is a lay down your life. They arrive early. They stay late. They help, they help, they help, they help, they help, right? Schools are filled with people that are that way. And Christians are the best at being helpful. We'll stay after and sweep floors. We'll take out the trash. We'll give a ride. We'll do anything. We'll spend our money to buy somebody a meal just because we want them to eat. We care that they might be hungry. That's the way Christians are. We are helpful people. Well, you know what is one of the most needy parts of our communities? The schools. To me, it's a no-brainer. If there's a organization that has so much need, and there's an organization that has so much a desire to help a need, and they're right down the street from each other, they're neighbors, they're in the same community, they know of each other, it's just an open door to step into. Here's some questions. Do the churches add value to your school community? That's what we're wanting to get at. Do the churches add value to your school community? When people are in need, do they think to turn to the churches? May not be the case now, but I'm wanting you to see that it absolutely can be the case. One big example that we all know about is backpacks and school supplies. I mean, that's everywhere. There's a surplus of those. What happens here in Louisville is there are more backpacks and school supplies prepared than there are kids that need them. Once we get like a month into the school year, you can find a church or an organization or whatever that's got backpacks sitting, right? And so we've kind of mastered that all over the country. We have. We've mastered that. Hey, crayons, notebooks, pencils, pens, backpack, right? We've got those. And that's great. But let's think a little bit further outside the box. What are some of the other needs? Are there kids that need shoes? School uniforms is a thing in our public school system here. Are there kids that need uniforms? You have to wear khaki pants. You have to wear a polo shirt. What about those, right? What about diapers in the places where they have kids? I mean, we could go on and on with what some of the needs are. But if a school has needs, are they aware that there's a church nearby that wants to meet those needs? And so whatever we can do to make that connection, that's what we want to do. When people are in need, do they think to turn to the churches? If the churches were to close down, would it be a loss for your area? Would people suffer more? This question helps us be able to see, are we making a difference? Are we there? Are we helpful? And that's what I want us to think about. There are some communities right now where if the church were to close, it would be devastating for the area. It just would. And there are some churches right now where it closed down, the school wouldn't even notice. The community wouldn't even notice. But that's what we're thinking through. If there's needy people and hurting people, and then there's people that want to be helpful, we need to put those together. Here's the next question. Are there serving opportunities available at your school that church volunteers could step into? And now this starts to get more practical for us. This is just absolutely massive. Are you seeking to help the churches engage the school community? There are so many needs around our schools that our churches and our Christians can step into. Let me just share with you some that I've seen going on in some of the schools through some of the churches, all right? Reading to classes. Every year I hear of schools and librarians, especially elementary schools, that are looking for adults that will come in and just read books to classes. What a great way to serve. What a great way to get connected. Okay? Volunteers at field day. At most schools' field days, there's like 100 stations. Water stations and game stations and this and that. I mean, and somebody just needs to be filling up Gatorade tanks of water there. Wouldn't a Christian love to do that? Don't we know that, especially retired ladies, don't we know that retired ladies love kids? They love kids. I mean, it makes their day to just be around kids. And in your church, we need to be aware that at your school, they're needing volunteers. And if you're a Christian, you could let your church know, or your small group know, or your Sunday school class know, or whatever. Hey, my school needs somebody to come and cheer on kids. There are people in your church right now that would love to do that. Okay? some others. Coaching teams. In many schools, there aren't enough coaches. There aren't enough people that want to come in and coach a cross-country team, coach a soccer team, a baseball team. They're literally looking, begging for volunteers. What we hear on a regular basis is the school saying something like, well, we're trying to start a girls' cross-country team, or we're trying to start a boys' volleyball team, but we can't find anybody to coach it. If that announcement was made at a church, there would be people like this: I'll do it. Oh, you mean three practices a week for 1 hour a day to invest in the lives of kids? I would do that. But what often happens is the communication doesn't go like this. This side doesn't tell this side. We're trying to think about that a little bit more. They need leaders to go on field trips. They need people to clean up gyms and stadiums. And you know what? They often pay for this. They will often pay somebody, you know. A youth group can come and clean up the football stadium after a football game and get paid to do it. Teacher Appreciation Week is an awesome time to get involved. Working concession stands is another need that schools have. Giving waters, popsicles, Gatorades to ball teams. Uniforms for a local school team. Let me tell you a story that I saw happen just a few years ago. I was at an elementary soccer tournament. And elementary soccer school teams is not really a big deal. It's not all that competitive. Nobody's really into it, but it's really cute, and it's going on. It's elementary soccer. And I saw a school that was out there playing without uniforms. Everybody else in nice uniforms, but there was a school playing without uniforms. I mean, kids were wearing their school uniform. I mean, basically dressed like this in a soccer game. I was like, what? Who? In my mind on the sideline, I said, who works at that school? Why is there not somebody doing something about this? So I contacted our school, and I said, who's the resource person at that school? And they put me in touch with them. And so I called that person at that school, and I said, hey, I was at the soccer tournament last night, and your kids don't have uniforms. She said, yeah, I hate that. I'm so embarrassed about it. But they were missing after the summer. She said, I don't know if they got lost or stolen or thrown away or what, but we just don't have them. Now, you, or your church, or anybody in your church, if you heard that story, would be thinking, we can get them some uniforms, right? It was so simple. I called the little place down the road that does uniforms. I said, how much would it cost to get 15 kids' uniforms? They said it'd be $200, shorts, shirt, name on the front, number on the back, all of that, $200, okay? I went to a men's group at our church. I said, hey, I know a school, elementary school soccer team that needs uniforms. Can somebody do that? They pitched in together, $200, I bought them. But since we weren't near that school, I didn't want us to do it because that wouldn't be necessarily the best way to do kingdom work. So I called a buddy, and I said, hey, what church is closest to that school? He gave me the name of the pastor. I called the pastor. I said, hey, here's an opportunity for your church to go love on that school. And that pastor, that resource person, got the soccer team together and the coach in the cafeteria, and that pastor walked in with a box of brand-new uniforms for those kids. Y'all, it was electric. It was exciting. The kids were jumping up and down, cheering. They were trying them on. They were walking in with their shirt. It was just a moment. And you know, I'm serious. You know how easy it was to make that happen? $200 from a men's group? It was the easiest thing to do. And yet it was a major, major gain. And I got to see that pastor just say, hey, we love you guys. We're here to help. If there's anything else that comes up, let us know. Y'all have a good season. And we left. It was amazing. And next thing you know, yesterday there was a lot of talk through the platform here and the breakout session I went to about how in schools for Christians, there's just growing tension. And since there's confusion, the tensions kind of feed off themselves, right? And we all feel that. We know that, right? Well, guess what makes tensions go down? A church person that walks in and says, hey, we love your school. Here's some uniforms for you. Y'all go get them. Have a good season, right? All of a sudden, those tensions are going down. All of a sudden, doors are opening up. Hey, there's so much value to churches connecting with schools. There's so much value for helpful people to look for needs and be able to meet them. There was a lady, she's passed away recently. There was a lady in our church who worked in the school. And schools are always taking volunteers. And there was a single mom, been struggling with addiction, that was always there to volunteer. Kind of rough situation. But I want y'all to know that it's been about 15 years now that that single mom has been an active, faithful, getting discipled member, believer of a local church that we know of, because the lady at the school was a Christian and she invested in that single mom that was a volunteer. Her life's been changed by Jesus Christ, and now she's a part of a church. Simply because the lady that facilitated volunteers cared about her, invested in her. Gospel ministry that churches are praying to do that happened through a school employee. I'll tell you another one that I thought was really, really cool. At most elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools, they do a career day. And they want professionals to come in and stand before the students and tell them what they do. We're trying to motivate kids to get a job when they get out of, when they get out of the house and out of school, right? And so there have been a handful of times where schools have said, hey, we've got a fireman coming, we got an attorney coming, we got a nurse coming, but would you like to come as a pastor? The next time your school has career day and you get to invite somebody, invite your pastor, invite one of them. And watch how cool it is when he gets to stand up there and say, you know what, here's what I do. I help people get their life focused on God. That's my job. I help people get their life focused on God. I have been able to stand up before schools and gatherings and classes because somebody that worked in the school said, hey, it's career day. Would you like to come? It's really, really cool. There's so much value there, and I want us to be thinking about that. Let me tell you another story that happened, okay? We're talking about being valuable. We're talking about being helpful to the schools around us, all right? There was a young man in our, not a young man, there was a man in his mid-50s. He was a police officer, and he retired. He was raised Catholic, was not a believer walking and following Jesus. Really cool story. As soon as he retired from being a cop, he quickly got bored and wanted to do something else. So he got a job at one of the local schools being a security guard. That's a really common thing, right? You know about that. So he's a retired police officer, and now he's a security guard at this public school. Well, there's a man that works in that school that's an active member of a local church. They quickly hit it off, became friends, and he began sharing the gospel with him. It wasn't long before this man, who's in his mid-50s, who's a retired police officer, came to know Jesus. Heart was changed, he got saved and all that. Really cool story. Stuff that should be happening all the time. Stuff that is happening all the time. God works through his people. Well, once we knew that this man had come to faith in Christ, retired cop, security guard at the school, we approached him about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Here in Louisville, FCA is a really big thing. They're in over 100 schools. It's really kind of the best way to try to do anything Christian inside of a school, okay, in our context, okay? So we approached him and we said, hey, there's not an FCA at this school. There's not one. There's over 1,000 students in the school. Nothing's going on there. We would love to start one. We know you're kind of a new believer. We don't necessarily want to throw you to the wolves, but hey, here's an opportunity. We've already talked to the principal about it. The principal said we could have an FCA. We just have to have somebody to lead it. Would you do it? He said, well, sure, man. I'd love to. Who doesn't want to help kids get to know Jesus? I'll do it. So he said he'll start FCA. We had no idea what it was going to be like. Would any students come? We had no idea. We didn't know anybody else that could lead it. We had been waiting for somebody to get saved so he could lead it. The guy that led him to Christ wasn't able to lead it. At his first FCA meeting, 5 teachers showed up. They weren't invited. He didn't know that they were going to come. He had not connected with them before. You know what that tells me? That there were believers in the room that weren't finding the spiritual support, I mean, believers in the building that weren't finding that spiritual support that they had been looking for. And just by him starting an FCA, other adults in the building showed up to say, hey, I want to be a part of this. Hey, I love King Jesus too. Hey, I'm a praying person. Hey, I care about these kids on a spiritual level too. Next thing you know, all sorts of wheels started turning. All sorts of pieces started connecting. There were, that morning, I think there were 11 students. It's grown. There are now over 20-some students in that FCA. But just something bigger seemed to be happening, that there are adults in the building, praying adults, adults that walk into there wanting to be light, adults that walk into there desiring for God to use their lives to help students, and they were all connected now. I did a funeral not too long ago of a lady that had like 40-plus years as a bookkeeper, 40-plus years in a bookkeeper in a school. And one of the things that she told us before she died, and the lady actually showed up at her funeral
is that there was another lady in her building that was a Christian. They had no relationship outside of school. They're from different parts of town, you know, different churches, all that. But there was a lady in her school that every week before school, I think she said like Friday mornings or something like that, they met there 15 minutes early. Those two huddled up and they prayed. They prayed for each other. They prayed for strength. They prayed for the students. They prayed for the school. They were supporting each other. There is so much value to Christians being who they are, doing what they do, serving the Lord, being helpful in the schools. And as we start putting those things together, it's kind of like the sky's the limit. There is much to be done. Today I want to put before you the value that there is. Number one, are we visible? Number two, are we valuable? Number three, are we vocal? Are we vocal? Are we ready to speak Jesus when the opportunity arises? This gets to the heart of who we are and what we do. When we want to be a witness. Are we vocal? Are we ready to speak Jesus when the opportunity arises? Here's a couple things. As you love and serve your school, many doors will open for you to share about love, faith, hope, and Jesus. You know what happened when they got FCA started? Every week at every meeting, they needed somebody to share something. And at first, he didn't know if he'd have anybody to ask. Think about that. I'll start an FCA. I'm not sure who I'll ask. I guess I'll ask some guys outside in the community, try to find some ball players that want to come share or something like that. But right away, he had five teachers in the building. And so you know what he did? Hey, Miss Johnson, would you like to share your testimony next week to these students? And imagine the power of that teacher getting to speak about how Jesus changed her life. Imagine the influence of those students hearing, hey, she's not just good at math. She's not just here to teach us a subject. She has a relationship with God, and she wants me to have a relationship with God too. More than she wants me to pass my math test, she wants me to know God. There's opportunities to speak up. There's opportunities to speak up. Many doors will open for us to share about love, faith, and hope in Jesus. The opportunities come. I never forget, I have five kids. My oldest is 17, about to start his senior year of high school, and my youngest is 10, about to start her last year of elementary school, fifth grade. And I'll never forget, do y'all know about See You at the Pole, like gathering at the pole to pray? We've not done a whole lot with that, but there's been a few times over the years where that's been a thing. That is an eye-opening experience. School starts at 8 o'clock, so they say, hey, we're going to gather at the pole at 7 or 7:30, and you go there, and you're kind of like, well, what's this going to be like? It's kind of weird to pray in the parking lot or whatever, what's going to be like. But you get there, and there's like all kinds of people that are in the building that are there to pray, and you're like, I didn't even know that you thought about prayer like this. I didn't even know that you were a praying person. And those things come together, and that creates a spot for us to talk about, why are you here? Why'd you come? Or better yet, at the one that I went to, I remember the leader person just said, hey, here's how we're going to do this. We're all going to hold hands. And if you want to pray, pray. If you don't, squeeze the hand and we'll go to the next person. And so I was a pastor in the community, but I just kind of stood in awe of going, she's a praying teacher? Praise the Lord. That's awesome. This lady that I've seen serving so well, praying for these students and praying for protection and praying for God's work and praying in the name of Jesus, I was like, that's awesome. Now I know that she's an ally. Now I know that we're in this together. Now I know that we're partners in this. Now I know who I'm going to pick for my kid to be in her class next year. You know, those sorts of things come about when we get vocal in the opportunity that God gives it. I don't mean for people to walk into their school first day and hang a Bible verse on their wall. I don't mean for them to go and say, hey, I want everybody in this school to know that I'm a Christian. You're going to see it soon. I don't mean that. I mean, as you love and serve your school, many doors will open. One of the best ways that we're seeing God do this sort of thing is through churches feeding high school football teams. Raise your hand if you've heard about this at all. Churches feeding high school football teams. It's amazing. It is so good. Most high school football teams have anywhere from 50 to 100 players. Their games are Friday nights at 7:30. School gets out at 2, 2:30, 3 o'clock, right? That's a big four-hour window. What are these kids going to do? They're not going to go home. Most of them can't drive. They're not going to go home. So what do? So they've got to be fed. Well, the reality is trying to feed 50, 70, 80, 100 teenage high school boys is very difficult. It's a lot. I know a coach who after school, a head coach, goes and himself tries to make spaghetti for all of them. Can you imagine how stressed a man would be trying to do that when he's worried about the game and trying to feed 100 people? It just sounds like the worst thing ever. And if churches would see, okay, again, ladies, moms, retired ladies, love this sort of thing. If churches would see that the school would absolutely love it, would be thrilled if they would do that. I think that every single school in America should have a church feeding a football team on a Friday night. It's the biggest open door ever. If you'll do that, 90% of the time, the coach will say, thanks for feeding us, man. We're so thankful for this. Would you like to say anything to the team? That's what happens usually. And so what happens a lot of times, the pastor's like, yeah, sure, hey, I just want to share something with you all that I read this morning, man. Jesus changed my life, and he could change yours too. Now, y'all go out there and have a good game tonight. I'll see you next Friday. We'll feed you. And the kids think it's the best thing ever. Instead of running around and eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or trying to run to McDonald's to get the cheapest thing on the menu because they don't have much money, which is going to make their belly hurt. Instead, they get to sit down. They get to have a team meal together. If you know anything about sports, team meals are some of the most bonding things that there are. If you talk to any college athletes, team meals are some of the most memorable and life-impacting things that there are. High schools just often aren't able to do it. And a church can make that happen. And then you get to speak up. A couple years ago, we were feeding a football team. Public school, coach is not a believer, and in the middle of the dinner, his phone rings, tragic call, coach's mom died. It was a heavy team meal. Nobody said anything the rest of the time. Coach didn't enter back in. He had a game that night. That was Friday. On Sunday afternoon, I get a call from Coach. He and I were not close, not buddies or anything like that. He says, Pastor Green, trying to put together a funeral for my mom. I wasn't ready for this. Don't know how to do it. Never planned a funeral. Could you help me do that? You know what unfolded from that? He asked, could the funeral possibly be at your church? We said yes. He asked the principal, who's not a believer, hey, could I possibly take the whole football team to the church that feeds us for the funeral? The principal, all the assistant principals, the coaches, all the players were at our church for a gospel-focused funeral where I preached that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save your soul. I said to every one of them, when it comes time for you to pass away, it may be many years from now, or it may be an unexpected phone call when it comes time for you to pass away. You know what will comfort your soul is knowing that the loving God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, and you can go to heaven and have God as your father. I preached that message to the school administration, to the coaching staff, to the 70 student athletes. You know why we got to? Because as we loved and served their school, many doors will open. And when those doors open, would you be vocal in it? Next question, is your personal mission clear that you must speak up about Jesus? And are you looking for help in this effort? Again, I'm not wanting anybody to be obnoxious. I'm not wanting you to go in first day and wear a t-shirt that says, ask me about the hope that is in me, so that people start asking you, hey, what's your shirt mean? And you should not hit on first day. I'm not meaning anything like that. I'm meaning good, humble service. And where the doors open up, you're saying, hey, there's a purpose for me here. God is going to use my life. I'm ready to speak when somebody asks. You know what is one of the most comforting, encouraging things? You know how nervous first day of school is, right? And everybody's got the thing now where they got to take pictures of their kids and you post them on Instagram and your kid holds the sign, first day of first grade, first day of second grade. You know, everybody does all that. The first day is so nervous. You got your new shoes, your new clothes, you know, all of that sort of stuff. First day is so much. But you know what settles? You know what settles so many parents? When they connect with a teacher or a principal or a somebody in that school that they know is like-minded, like-hearted, or a Christian. I don't know the best way to be able to show that. Maybe your Stanley Cup's got a sticker on it that says your church, okay? Maybe on your desk is a little Bible verse that says, hey, walk by faith, not by sight, right? Maybe there's something like that that sends it. But when those parents can sense, can feel, can know, can decipher, discern that this person is a Christian, all of a sudden, all of the many of the worries, the fears, things start to go away. And then when that starts happening, we get to be vocal in it. We get to connect over it. A couple years ago, my son was taking high school honors math, ninth grade math. And he had told us about it, and he kept telling us that the teacher was, he kept saying that he thought she was Hispanic, which my wife is Latino, so he was really off on that. But he kept saying he thought she was Hispanic. Her English was not the clearest. She's great at speaking English, but it was not the clearest like a normal or natural-born English speaker. And so he had told us that, but she was great and all that. So we went for a parent-teacher talk, and our son was not struggling in that class, but we went. We sat down with this lady. She was actually from North Africa, way off from being Hispanic, okay? And that shows you how a 14-year-old boy can decipher, okay? But she was actually from North Africa. We talked about our student. We talked about math. We talked about that. And then right before we were about to leave, she said, are y'all the ones from the church down the road? And we said, yeah. We hadn't brought it up or anything. When we said that, when we said yes to that question, she started crying. She said, I'm a believer from Egypt. Egypt. She said, I came to the U.S. to do some ministry. She worked for a parachurch organization like a Young Life or something like that in California. Some things ended up changing. She moved to Kentucky to get a job. She's a school teacher. She's awesome. But she's a Christian. But because she's from North Africa or whatever, it hadn't been the easiest for her to connect. She felt like she was so alone in that school. Nobody through this whole school year had connected with her, loved her, encouraged her, prayed with her. She had had none of that. It's an awful feeling if you're a Christian, isn't it? We said to her, can we pray right now? She said, I would love for you to pray. We prayed for her there. She was strengthened. She was built up in the faith. Since then, she's become a leader in the school's FCA. Nobody had connected with her about that. She didn't know that there was an FCA. Now she's a leader in the school's FCA. Her life's kind of blossoming. She's getting plugged into a church that's in that community. I mean, just so many things have happened, but nobody had spoken about it. Nobody had said, where are you from? What do you like? That just hadn't happened. But Christians are the one that care deeply about that. I know that working in schools is so hard, and it's so exhausting, and it's so draining. I know that. And so it's so easy to just roll into your school and not connect with anybody or not care about that or not get vocal about what's the most important thing in your life. I want to encourage you all today to, is your personal mission clear that you must speak up about Jesus? And are you looking for help in this effort? Next question, are you, your church, and other local churches praying for your school? Now, you may not be the most vocal, and you may not want to talk and get into it. It may be pretty hostile at your school. You may be told on a regular basis, don't bring any up of that Christian stuff or that religious stuff. I know that there are settings like that. All of our contexts are different. I know that. One of the best things we can do is we can lead the people around us the Christians around it. We can pray for our classrooms. We can ask our small groups to pray for our school. We can ask our churches to pray for our school. One of the things that's become pretty cool here lately is that churches pray for other churches. You hear about this, right? Hey, my church is praying for church. We pray for 5 churches a week around us. Churches pray for other churches. I love that. On a regular basis, I'll hear from somebody at a different church, like, hey, we prayed for your church this past week. And that's pretty cool, all right? That's kingdom-minded. That's unity or whatever. But something else that we could add to that is for churches to pray for our schools. Yesterday, I was in a breakout session with Dr. Pinnick right here. I didn't know that. But now I know that his school has a man that is a Christian, is the principal at that school. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Don't you think it would be awesome if all of us prayed for him? You think he's under the magnifying glass sometimes? Yeah. It'd be awesome if we're praying for him. You think it'd be good for his soul and for his life if he knew that we were all praying for him? Absolutely. And what if that became more and more of a thing? What if you let the teachers in your school know, hey, we prayed for you? What if your church wrote a note to every single teacher in the school near you and said, hey, we're praying for you? What if you made it a point to find somebody in your school that you say, hey, I'm praying for you? And the Lord will lead you on which ones to start with and which ones to not. You don't want to start an issue here. But praying will lead to God working. He answers prayer. And praying will lead to God working. And through that, then it gets the opportunity for us to be vocal. There are a lot of Christians serving in schools, aren't there? There are a lot of Christians serving in schools. I dare say that every church, nearly every church, has somebody in it that works in a school. It's a part of it. And what if we were empowering those people by praying behind them, go make a difference there? Several years ago, I got really worked up and kind of convicted and burdened that at one of our local schools around our church, I didn't know of anybody there that was a Christian. And it really kind of bothered me. I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about some of the schools that you know, and do you know of anybody there that's a Christian? There may be some Christians there, but you just don't know it. And I want you to think about, like, if there aren't, it must be a pretty dark place. There's no salt showing up in the mornings. You know how hard mornings are? You know what car rider lines are like these days? If there's no light showing up there in the morning, what's that like? And so I started saying at prayer meetings, and I even said it from the pulpit one time, like, who do we think we are if a school in proximity to us, we don't know of any believers there? Are we kidding ourselves? Are we showing up with our lives, acting like we're here to be salt and light in the world, and yet we don't know of a single person there? And I said, hey, I don't have a strategy to change this. I'm not a strategy guy. But we have a God that wants to use our lives. Let's start praying. I'm encouraged to tell you all that after we started praying for that school now has administrators, teachers, coaches, and lots of students that are believers in it. Not because we came up with a strategy to reach that place, but because we became mindful that that's what's supposed to be on our radar. And we started praying for that, and the Lord made it happen. Some of the believers were already there, like that teacher that I told you about that was from Egypt. Some the Lord has saved. God's working. We want to be vocal to be able to speak into that. We want to be visible. We want to be valuable. We want to be vocal. And then lastly, let's just get real here, okay? This might be a heart check for us. Are you and the churches a living, healthy follower of Jesus? Are you and the churches equipped to engage the school and the community? This may be all for nothing. I may have been talking for the last hour, and we don't even really care. Your church may not even care. The reality is that some people aren't wanting to make a difference there. Hey, you get paid good at your job. You're counting down the days to when you can retire. You don't really care if you're salt and light there. Let's be honest about that. Are we viable? Are you believing that the witness of Christ's followers in these schools will be used by God in his kingdom work? Is that just a principle that you know to be true? That God will, the thing that I started with, that God will use your lives for his glory where he has placed you. Are you believing that? Are you believing that a teacher could get saved next year because your relationship with them? Are you believing that if you invited them to your church because, hey, your pastor's starting a new series in the Gospel of John or through the book of Romans, hey, I think you'd like it. Would you join me there? If you invited them, that they would come? And what would happen if they got to sit under the preaching of the gospel? Are you just believing that the witness of Christ's followers in these schools will be used by God in his kingdom work? Are you being intentional to make a difference for Christ in the school where God has placed you? I want to tell you a couple quick stories and then we'll be done. I want to take a few questions if there are. There's a young man that grew up in our community in a broken home, didn't live with either of his parents, grew up in a trailer park, was rough, he was rough, it was all rough. But he got involved with sports at his local school. He wasn't a coach, but there was a teacher there that did weight training. And when it came time for summer camps to come up, FCA does summer camps. And this teacher said, hey, I'm going to run the mini marathon. I'm going to get sponsors. There's lots of running here in Louisville. I'm going to run the mini marathon. I'm going to get sponsors. And the sponsors are going to give me like $5 a mile. And for every mile I run, they're going to give me money. And I'm going to use that money to pay for y'all's way to go to camp. And so, hey, students, if anybody wants to go to the FCA summer camp, a week-long camp, I'll pay your way if you'll go. This young man said he would go. Goes to camp at FCA camp. Powerful, awesome camp. Good, solid preaching. This kid gets saved. He comes home from camp saved. FCA does a good job of saying, okay, now that you're saved, you need to find your church. So he comes and finds our church. We don't really know him. Gets involved in our church, 16, 17 years old, gets discipled, stays involved through college, gets discipled. Y'all, he is serving as one of the pastors in one of the best churches around here in Louisville. He's on staff as a pastor at Highview Baptist Church East Campus, out of a trailer park, broken home in a town in Louisville, simply because a Christian teacher said, if any of y'all would like to go to camp, I'll pay your way. Didn't have the money on a teacher's salary to pay the way, but did a run to raise money to pay the way. He's a godly husband. He's got three kids. Because a teacher did something to impact his life. Let me tell you another one. A young man who was a twin. His dad died when he was 12, raised by a single mom, went to multiple different schools, lived in like 10 different apartments by the time he had gotten to high school. Same thing. That same teacher said, hey, if anybody wants to go to FCA summer camp, I'll pay your way. I'm running the mini marathon. This kid goes to camp. At a different FCA camp, this kid gets saved. He was a high school senior when it happened. This kid gets saved, goes off to college. Same thing. You need to join a local church in Bowling Green. Joins a local church in Bowling Green. Gets baptized. Can't afford to go to WKU for even one semester. Gets sent back to Louisville. Doesn't have money or anything, but they kept saying, you need to be in a church. You need to be in a church. Finds him a church here in Louisville, gets discipled, joins the military, saves all of his money, godly man, godly husband, godly father of two, is a deacon in his church at 30 years old, was as lost could be, wasn't raised in church, had zero Christian influence in his life except for a teacher that said, hey, if you want to go to FCA camp, I'll pay your way, connected with them, influenced, became a mentor to him. The school-church partnerships are absolutely massive if we'll lean into them. God is working there. I've told probably, five, six, seven stories today of some stuff that I've seen, and yet there are countless examples of God using people. And God will use you. And God will use your church. And God will work in your school. I want to encourage you to cultivate church and school partnerships. All right, we've got a few minutes. If there are some questions for us to discuss this, we are talking about being visible, valuable, vocal, and viable. We're in here till 10:15, so we've got 11 minutes. Any questions about all that? Anything that comes up? Anything on your heart and mind? Yes, sir.
You are a missionary.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to be a missionary, and I want to work in an international context and with Egyptian teachers and diversity all around us, I kind of am working in international context, so thank you for saying that. Anything else? Yeah, let me speak to that. Churches are really, and I'm a pastor, so I'm speaking from the church perspective, right? Y'all are heroes of mine. I actually, because I believe in this so much, I have five kids. I have three teenage boys right now, and they're believers, and they walk with the Lord. But I'm actually praying that if the Lord will, that God would make them teachers and coaches, because I believe so much in what I've seen. I know it's hard and challenging, but I see God using it so much. But speaking from the church perspective, listen, I don't know what your church is like. Churches are so bad about thinking of ROI, return on investment. Like, we're not going to do that if it doesn't immediately get us a lot of people. Why would I order a Chick-fil-A breakfast for this group of coaches and spend our money if they're not going to come to our church? You know, churches think like that a lot. I'm not going to walk across the street and witness to this guy if I don't think he's going to listen. And that's really kind of like the parable of the Good Samaritan, is it not? Churches are bad about that. But I want you all to know, and teachers know it best, we got the long view in mind. We got the long view in mind. The way a student is in August will make you want to quit. But the way that student is in the last week of school in May keeps you coming back the next year. Isn't that right? 9 months of a school year will show you, hey, God's working here. And school people know that. So when it comes to our Christian witness, don't think, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. Or don't let your church think, we're not going to do this because we don't see the good that God is doing. God is working. God does work. I loved the message that we heard again. Again, let me quote that again. That teacher felt God saying, I didn't place you here so that you would criticize it. I placed you here so that you would not so you would know that I've not abandoned it. Yeah, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for just the conversation around what you can do through schools and churches. God, I pray that you would cause Christians that work in schools to be used to help their church see that there's a lot of opportunity around. There's a lot of opportunity around in our schools. And God, I pray that you would use these men and women. I pray, God, that they would walk into their schools as servants of Jesus. They would remember things like be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. They would remember the scriptures that say, always let your speech be seasoned with salt, that it would be speak grace into the moment. God, I pray that we would lay down our lives like you've laid down yours for the sake of others. God, I pray that the value that we bring would be evident as we are helpful and helpful and helpful. God, I pray that the rookie teachers that just really think they can't do it anymore would be uplifted by the veteran teachers that have hope in Christ, that'll put their arm around a young teacher and say, hey, I got your back. Hey, I was in that position too. God, I pray that we would be visible. We would want our schools to know that we are Christians and that our church wants to help. God, I pray that we would be valuable, that we would actually be helpful, and our antennas would be up, and we would always be looking. Here's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. Here's a need. And we'd want to show the value. Then we would then help our churches to see, hey, here's a way that you can serve. Here's a way that you can serve. Here's a way that you can serve. God, I pray that we would be vocal. That we would always be ready to share the hope that is in us, that it would be on our lips, the truth would be on our lips, to speak about our love for our Savior, that it would flow out of us, that we are loved, that our sins are forgiven, that our identity is not in being a good teacher or a bad teacher, our identity is not in the success that we have in the classroom or the lack thereof, but that our identity is in you, and we would speak about that. And oh God, I pray that we would be viable. May your Holy Spirit feed life into us, and may we live for you. God, I thank you for these school workers that have shown up for a conference here at Boyce College, and I pray, God, that they would be encouraged and equipped to be used by you. God, we ask that you would let our schools see our good works and you get the glory. God, use this time here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.